The Financial Survival Network, helping you survive and thrive in the new economy. Go to carrielutz.com and sign up for 30 free micro trainings on financial survival.
$14.90 WGCH. This is Carrie Lutz. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. There's a saying, so goes January, so goes the year. We saw metals go up. We saw stocks go up. We saw a lot of things go up in January. Some of them are still going up. Dow just hit a new four-year high. Oil up to $103, another high. And to help figure out the direction where things are heading, we have the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp, on hand. Mickey, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Carrie. I've finally made my way back to New Mexico after three conferences, I guess, in 4 weeks. And it's good to be back at the farm and getting caught up on business and farm work and remodels and what have you.
I'm sure you're glad to be back because, like the saying goes, there's no place like home. We're looking at these markets. Everybody's doom and gloom, and yet from January on, man, we've been on a rampage. Some things are leveling out a little bit. Copper hit a high, now it's down a little. But what's your take on the markets? Maybe we should go through them individually and kind of figure out the direction.
Okay, well, the Dow is at almost a four-year high, pushing 13,000. Blue chips obviously looking very good, and continuing with their performance from last year. If memory serves, they were up 6% while the broader markets were up about 1% last year. Your point's well taken. January came off one of the best ever. That's continued into February. Interesting factoid to me I heard today was over 80% of the S&P 500 is greater than its 50-day moving average. So that's also very bullish. There's been some talk in the financial circles that it's probably hard to fathom, but that U.S. equities are being viewed as a safe haven by Europeans. So maybe that's what's driving these major markets, Carrie.
Yeah, that has the allure of a simple explanation to something that defies credulity, that it could be so bad and yet the markets are heading higher. But look, they're printing money. We know that. That liquidity has to find a home rather than buying the sovereign debt, which everyone is scared to death of. Maybe they're heading towards equities. Is that possible?
It makes sense to me. And commodities. Oil is $103.50 at WTI. And that's the highest since the May commodities correction. And if you remember, during that period of time last May, which would be just at 9 months ago, we had about a 15% commodities wide correction. Now that was instigated or started, if you will, driven by increased margin requirements set on silver, and that caused the parabolic collapse of silver. It was pushing $50 and very soon after was back down in the high 20s. But there certainly is demand for oil, and once again, oil is often driven by geopolitics and the Iran situation, the embargo, their ongoing efforts to make high enriched uranium and purportedly concoct an atomic bomb is certainly driving the oil price. But by the same token, you know, gold is very positive, although it's flattened out again, but we're seeing increased central bank buying and increased demand from India and China, which are the two largest countries, gold importing countries, on a yearly basis. You add all that together, markets look very good right now, and they could be at the point of being overbought. So when markets start looking a little frothy like this, you need to tread with caution, or at least I tend to.
And it's never a bad time to take some profits when you've seen a nice run-up like we've had. And
absolutely.
No one ever went broke taking a profit. That's what they say, right?
Well, those are words of wisdom for sure. But we've also seen small caps have been surging. U.S. small caps are surging and outperforming the market. You remember we talked about the NASDAQ, which was up 8% last year. So and that is continuing. So my take on that would be, does that trickle down to the microcaps? You know, we all kind of grew up during the years of Reagan and trickle-down economics. And so perhaps we're going to see some trickle-down to the microcaps, which, from a contrarian point of view, largely, well, they're unknown by most people that speculate in markets. The ones that are known have generally been unloved and undervalued. So perhaps better days are ahead for the junior resource sector.
We've waited around a long time. The other thing that's interesting is that these commodities are going up when the dollar is stabilized around 79 to 80. To see oil going up, well, I guess gold and silver stabilizing right now, kind of going sideways. I guess a lot's going to depend where the greenback heads, at least in the short run. In the long run, I don't believe it's going to matter. But for right now, the markets are attempting to behave in a rational manner, I guess.
Well, we always appreciate markets when they are rational. And we know they can be irrational a lot longer than we can be liquid. So
yeah, never forget that. And the market's always smarter than us, too. It always has a knack of disappointing the majority and making the majority lose money. And just when you think you have it figured out, that's when lightning strikes generally, right?
So, well, that's true. And that's why we very much like the contrarian business model and try to buy things when they are unknown, unloved, and undervalued.
Yeah, really important to do that because, as Benjamin Graham said, and Warren Buffett too, when you're buying stuff that's been beat up, you know, scratch and dent, but hopefully not that's insolvent, you have a margin of safety because if you buy it low enough, it can't go that much lower other than to go bankrupt. And if that's not a possibility, then you can afford to wait around till, you know, as they say on Wall Street, every dog has its day, right?
That's correct.
So anything in particular you're looking at that's got the earmarks or the indications of a major breakout or breakdown?
I would say that I still am looking very closely at the uranium sector. We haven't seen a breakout yet. I do not think that we will see a price breakout on uranium for in the short term, perhaps in the midterm, though. But there have been two key events that's happened in the last week or so in the uranium sector. The first one we felt had to be coming at some point. It was a matter of timing. And that was the notice that Germany is restarting two of its 8 shutdown reactors. And that made sense. No matter how much the Germans want to think that they are going to be self-sufficient in energy with their grandiose solar energy plans, that is just not going to happen. So they restarted 2 reactors. I would expect they're going to restart more. The shutdown was a political move by Merkel during election season, and so I think we will see increased demand from the German people for electricity, and that's got to come from nuclear. I mean, either that or they can buy it from across the border in France and import their power and As we all know, 80% of France's power is generated by nuclear. The other thing that happened in the uranium sector within the last week was the announcement that the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, approved the build out of two nuclear reactors in Georgia. These are the first new reactors licensed in the past 30 years, and that certainly is very good news for the U.S. uranium industry.
Honestly, I never thought I would live to see it, because I'm in New York, and we had this, you know, we have Indian Point, which honestly is about 25 miles as the crow flies from my house. I'm not overly concerned about it, even after Fukushima in Japan, because we're not on an active earthquake fault yet. And it's gotten a little more active lately. The governor of New York, Andy Cuomo, has wanted nothing but to close it down. And now that he's governor, the reality has hit him that it's 20% of the area's electricity. Sometimes in this summer, it's 40%. You can't shut it down. And then we had this one that his father shut down on Long Island. It was the Quorum nuclear plant. State-of-the-art in the 80s. Virtually no potential for a meltdown. And that wound up being shuttered after billions of dollars was spent on it. It put Lilco out of business. So I just assumed we would never see it again. And yet, here we are, 20-something years later. Guess what? More nukes. That, to me, is pretty amazing, especially under the current regime, which seems anti any type of energy, unless it comes from the sky, it's wind or it's solar or pedal power, like you have a Flintstones car. I don't know where they think the energy's coming from, Mickey.
Well, that's Obama trying to appease the left and green wing of the Democratic Party, and I think those sorts of policies will, for the most part, dry up and end after the election, no matter who gets elected. The only thing that looks negative right now is copper, and it's down 7% in the last week. The last time we talked some about copper. At that point, we had cancel warrants and very high and LME inventories worldwide going down very quickly, and that appeared to be a bullish factor. But what we've since realized was that a lot of that copper was being moved from LME inventories into Shanghai warehouses as an arbitrage. So we are now seeing Shanghai warehouses at a 10-year high, and it appears to me, as once again, when copper gets about $4, it's not going to be sustainable unless there is demand from China. We saw a lot of demand from China when prices were low, and now that prices have gone up again, I think what you're going to see is hoarding of copper until prices go high again. So China is opaque. It is always the wild card in many commodities, but especially in a copper market, because the copper market is always in such delicate supply-demand balance. It has been in balance for the last 4 going on 5 years. That generally leads to robust prices, but it also leads to speculation. And of all the futures markets out there, I don't think there is any commodity that is more speculative than copper, even though it is Dr. Copper and and gives us a very good idea of the world economy. That said, copper still today at $3.70, and all producers are happy with $3.70 copper.
Yeah, well, it's definitely close to that resistance point, that $3.80 to $4 resistance point. When it goes over there, like you said, you have to watch out for it. And I got a little trivia question for you here, Mickey. Going back to the nuclear power plant issue, when was the last nuclear reactor built in the United States?
I would say the last one to be built or permitted would be in 1980.
Well, it started construction in Louisiana, the River Bend plant, in 1977. So it probably went online in early 80s. But the last plant to begin commercial operation is really interesting. It's the Watts Bar plant in Tennessee, which I assume is part of the TVA Bonneville Power Authority. It came online in 96 because they had it laying around for a lot of years, basically doing nothing. So
okay.
These are generational events, and I don't think you really can overplay the importance of the licensing of those two plants. I mean, that is big, and that's just in the U.S. In China, all over the world, they need, especially the emerging world, they need more electric, and it's going to come from uranium, nuclear power, and whatever other variations they can come up with there. Anyway, Mickey, where do we find you on the internet?
Mercenarygeologist.com, mercenarygeologist.asia for Chinese reading audience.
We'll talk to you in a couple weeks for our monthly market wrap-up. And until then, hope it's a prosperous February, what's left of it for you.
Well, I hope so, too. And I hope that when we talk in 2 weeks, we're as optimistic as we are today. That would be a two-month running bull market, and starting the first of the year, that bodes well for the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, if people hear me optimistic, they probably want to sell, but because I'm a good contrarian, you can pretty much bet against me and you'll pick the market properly. That's a given. Till then, Mick.
Thank you very much, Gary. Always a pleasure.
Hey, you too.